We didn't play our best game today, but you know what? I knew this day was going to come, and I'm proud of our defense.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Hey Fightin' Podcast, another hurry up edition coming to you shortly after LSU's 36-13 win over Mississippi State in Starkville. Plane just landed. We just got back to Baton Rouge. I am in my office. It's 10:15. I'm going to crank this bad boy out, get home, get a nice night of sleep, and get ready to go again Monday for Auburn week. But let's talk about this week in this game. LSU beats Mississippi State 36-13 in a day that we all knew was coming, right? We all knew this terrible, terrible day was coming when LSU's offense just played inept football and only put up 36 points and only put up 425 yards of offense or whatever it was, 413, excuse me, I spotted them 12 extra yards, and Joe Burrow only threw for 327 yards and four touchdowns because we knew that was coming, right? That's the off day now for an LSU offense, right? They put up those kinds of numbers. They set a single season record for touchdown passes in a game. That's what we've gotten used to with LSU's offense. When they play poorly, this is what it looks like. In all seriousness, I get it. I get what Ed Orgeron was talking about there. I get what the players were talking about after the game. Joe Burrow told CBS after the game, if we play like this next week against Auburn, we'll get beat. I don't know if I agree with that necessarily because I don't think it was all that bad. But I do think there was a lack of sharpness offensively for LSU that we'll talk about in a little bit. And I think it was made up for by a lot of sharpness and a lot of intensity and a lot of high-level execution from LSU's defense, which played probably its best game of the year. If not its best game of the year, one of its more complete games of the year, and the ability to stop the run, to disrupt the pass, to force some turnovers. And you take away that last drive where LSU had mostly backups in and Mississippi State went 90 yards, and you're looking at, you know, a game where Mississippi State only picked up about 250 yards of offense and only scored one touchdown and turned the ball over three times. So a pretty good performance from LSU on the whole. Not perfect. A lot of things to correct, especially on offense, especially in the red zone, which we'll get to in a second. But on the whole, 36-13, you go on the road in a very loud and hostile environment. By the way, like I know it's been talked about before. This was my first trip to Starkville, though, in quite a while. That place is really loud. I mean, that's a team that was 3-3 going into the game. If you read the Twitter replies to Mississippi State's tweet a couple weeks back, or I guess it was just a week back now, when they announced that this was going to be the CBS game, a lot of the Mississippi State fans on Twitter were kind of joking like, oh, please don't broadcast this game. We're going to get destroyed. And there was a lot of joking about their morale being down. If that's the case, you can't tell from that stadium. That stadium is so loud. Those cowbells are unbelievably loud. I think it poses a real challenge to any team that goes in there, and I thought LSU dealt with it really well. So all that said, let's dive right into the hurry-up edition of the podcast and get to the number. And the number for today's game I settled on was the number 7. And as you know, I always try to get a number that covers multiple grounds and covers a lot of distance. And I think 7 represents a few things for me tonight. First of all, when you look at the number 7, that's the number of games that it took Joe Burrow to set the school record for passing touchdowns in a season. He did it tonight with 4 more passing touchdowns. It brought him up to 29 for the season. That breaks the single season record previously held by Matt Malk and Jamarcus Russell. And now Joe Burrow has ascended to that throne in just 7 games. And look, we can talk about some of the execution things the offense struggled with at times tonight in the red zone. I think those are valid and they need to be addressed. But I think you also have to at times take a step back. And, you know, football is such a week-to-week sport. We get caught up in the week-to-week grind. I think it's sometimes you have to step back and take a look at the big picture and realize what you're witnessing. You're witnessing the greatest offense in the history of LSU football. And it's not even close. You're witnessing the best single-season performance from a quarterback in LSU history. You're witnessing probably 2 or 3 of the best single seasons from wide receivers in LSU history. I mean, Josh Reed is going to hold a lot of records for a long time at LSU, so I think you have to put that in perspective. But what Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and before he got hurt, Terrace Marshall were doing, and Terrace Marshall should be back soon, hopefully, unprecedented stuff. What LSU is doing as an offense as a whole is completely unprecedented And it's easy to get caught up in the week-to-week struggles. It's easy to focus on the 3 of 11 that LSU was on third downs tonight, or the three touchdowns they left on the board early in the game, or whatever negatives that you want to focus on, or whatever the case may be. To me, you still have to take a step back and realize that Joe Burrow has broken the LSU touchdown record in 7 games, and he has 5 more games on the schedule to build on that record, and that's not including whatever could happen for LSU in the postseason, which could be pretty special. So I want to start there. I want you to appreciate the history of the moment. This is something that, look, 3, 4, 5 years ago, LSU fans were starving for offensive success, and not even record-breaking success, just competency on the offensive side of the football. This is beyond competency. This is an unbelievable offense. It's not just one of the best in LSU history. It's one of the best at this point in college football history, and that's why Joe Burrow is cemented in the Heisman candidacy right now, and that's why these guys are all putting up records, and why, you know, this isn't the last record that LSU is going to break this year. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, both very close to the single season receiving touchdowns record of 12. Terrace Marshall's going to come back and put up some big numbers too. There are more records to fall for this team coming up. The second reason I picked the number 7 was to flip sides of the ball. I thought Grant Delpit put in another stellar performance and kind of was the symbol of the defensive performance for the night. He finished with 11 tackles. That's a season high for him, a career high for him. He also had 5 solo tackles. He had a quarterback hurry. He was everywhere. He was unleashed in a different way tonight, and I thought this was the epitome of LSU's defense being unleashed. Delpit had a great quote after the game that I'll play later in press play about Dave Aranda opening up the defense. I thought it was an excellent quote about basically the genius being unleashed in Dave Aranda. I think it's important to note also, LSU is healthy on defense tonight. They had Grant Delpit, they had Rashard Lawrence, they had Glenn Logan, they had Kalavon Chase on. They weren't really missing anybody from the defensive side of the ball, which hasn't been the case for most of the games this year. And so you're seeing a defense that started the season slow, still isn't perfect, but they're getting healthier. They're finding an identity. Grant Delpit was unleashed tonight, played like a number 7, made plays all over the field. Jacoby Stevens back there with him, forming one of the best safety duos in the country right now, and they certainly played like it against Mississippi State. My story's up at lsusports.net. You can read about those two guys and how they played tonight. But, you know, top to bottom, I thought the defense was excellent tonight, and it started with number 7. The third reason that I chose the number 7 for the number tonight was the thing that I was just talking about, the inability to get touchdowns early in the game on offense. You have to get 7 points in those situations and not 3, which is what LSU had to settle for 3 times early in the game. The Tigers had 3 and goal situations early in the first half, came away with only 9 points. That's not been the case for LSU all season. They entered the game first in the country in red zone scoring percentage. They entered the game, I think 7th in the country in touchdown percentage. They were scoring a lot of touchdowns when they got down there. And what I saw from LSU tonight in the red zone was just a little lack of sharpness. It wasn't a drastic failure. It wasn't an all systems failure. It wasn't that everyone was doing their job wrong. It was a half second late on a throw here, or a half second off on a route here. It was just tiny little mistakes that when you get on that side of the field, when things get tight, when you've got the cowbells ringing in the middle of the play, those little half seconds are the margins between success and failure. And I thought LSU was just a little bit off on that. Joe Burrow, after the game, pointed to a lack of energy from the offense early. He said he noticed it in the morning. I can't speak to that. I wasn't around the offense this morning. But you could just tell there was just a little half second off here and there with LSU's offense when they got down there in the early parts of the game. Now, the good thing is they were able to fix that. Once they got it fixed, they fixed it. And so it wasn't an all-systems failure. It wasn't that there's something broken with the offense. They just weren't quite executing the way that they normally do. And once they fixed it, it was no longer a problem. And I think that shows the ability to adjust, the ability to improve. The other thing is when the offense is just a little bit off, they weren't sharp, but they weren't sloppy either. And I think that's an important distinction. A lot of times when teams come out and struggle on offense, they get sloppy. They turn the ball over. That wasn't the case for LSU. They weren't sloppy. They didn't have the sharpness they normally play with, but they weren't sloppy. They took care of the football. They won the turnover battle. 3-0 made a huge difference on the road. So, again, not a disastrous performance from LSU's offense by any means, but I think that they'll be the first to tell you, as they said after the game, you want to get seven when you get down there. And they did later in the game. They were able to hit some home runs, too, in the passing game with deep touchdowns to Derek Dillon and Racy McMath, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, yeah, I thought, look, when you get down there, you want to get seven. So there's the number for today, seven, representing the play of Grant Delpit, LSU's number seven. The number of games it took LSU to break the touchdown record, and the fact that they got to get touchdowns and they get in the red zone. Moving on to the play. To me, the play of the game, and you know that sometimes I try to get a play that sort of speaks to the larger tone of the game. To me, the play of the game this week, there's really two candidates, and the one that I'll give it to is the touchdown pass to Racy McMath in the second quarter, because I believe that changed the game. It swung the momentum completely back in LSU's favor at a time when they needed it. But the other play that you could have given it to was the Derek Dillon touchdown catch from Joe Burrow. And the reason you could give it to that one was because it was a more spectacular play. Like, in terms of execution, the throw that Joe Burrow made to Derek Dillon for the score, in terms of importance, it wasn't as important a moment in the game. I mean, go back and look at when exactly it was. It was in the third quarter. I think it put LSU up 29-7, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I'm looking at the play-by-play here. It put LSU up 29-7 early in the third quarter. By that, it really felt like it put the game out of distance. The difficulty of the play was far greater than the Racy McMath touchdown. Joe Burrow had pressure, and to me, this is the type of play that he's grown the most on from a year ago. Last year, he'd get this pressure, and he'd scramble out of the pocket immediately. He'd roll left or he'd roll right. He'd look downfield to make a throw. If he couldn't, he'd run it. This year, he is navigating the pocket. He's sidestepping, and he's resetting his feet, looking for a throw to make. And this one to Derek Dillon was just unbelievable. He's coming back to his left in the pocket. He does a quick 1-2 step to gather his balance and then throws an absolute dime to Derek Dillon, who gets 1 foot in, may have gotten a second foot in. Doesn't matter. All you need is the one in college football. And it was just an amazing throw. The reaction on Twitter said it all. I think Peter Burns from the SEC Network tweeted that up there with the 3rd-and-17 throw that Joe Burrow made against Texas is a Heisman moment type of throw. The difficulty, I don't think you can underestimate how hard it is when you're going that fast to your left to reset with a 1-2, throw the ball with that kind of accuracy, with that kind of timing. It was a perfect throw. It's a throw that Joe Burrow couldn't have made last year. It's a throw that he's making pretty regularly this year, and it just showed everything. And the other reason that throw could kind of be the play of the game is the fact that it was the record-breaking touchdown. It was the record-setting touchdown for single-season touchdown passes in LSU history, the 29th for Joe Burrow.
First down and 10 at the 37. Burrow steps up in the pocket, feels the pressure, slings one down the middle of the field, caught, over-the-shoulder catch, back of the end zone, Derek Dillon, touchdown, Tigers!
That one would have been a very good choice for the play of the game, but I'm going with the second quarter touchdown pass to Racy McMath. One, I think it was a more momentum swinging play. Mississippi State had just cut the lead from 9-0 to 9-7. They had gotten all the energy back into the stadium. The cowbells were as loud as they'd been all night. It felt like if they can get a stop on that drive, you never know what happens. Maybe they can rally back and get another touchdown. Instead, LSU literally scores in a single play on what looked like a busted coverage to me. You know, LSU had, I noticed early in the game, LSU was running a lot of bunch formation. I don't know if they've run that much bunch this season. I was looking at some of the numbers during the game. It's hard to tell with the formation stuff. The database I use does include formation, but I never know exactly how accurate it is. But I think LSU had run like 162 out of 440-something plays out of the bunch this year. So that's like, you know, a third, basically. One out of every three plays. It seemed much more like, you know, three out of every four plays early was out of that bunch formation. LSU was really using it a lot. I don't know exactly why. I don't have the X's and O's acumen to know exactly why. But it seemed like that was part of their game plan. And that's Coach O was asked about it after the game. He said, yeah, it was part of the game plan. And for whatever reason they were doing it, on this play, it seemed to work. And Racy McMath went completely unguarded. I believe Mississippi State was in a zone. The guy kind of let Racy pass on into the corner. And Joe, you know, he made a fine throw. I mean, it was one of those, the guy's so wide open, you just throw it to where he can catch it. And Racy caught it and ran. And to me, it was just such a momentum-changing play. Coach O said after the game that, you know, the defense had just given up a touchdown, and he heard on the headset from Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady, and they said, look, we're going to respond. And so he believed them. I don't know that he knew they were going to respond in just the single play, but they did. And what it also did is it set the tone for LSU to close out the first half strong and start the second half strong. So LSU was going to get the ball to start the second half because they kicked off to start the game. And so they get the touchdown there. They end up getting another stop on a Jacoby Stevens interception. And then they get the ball back and score again before halftime. And then the game's over. So a game that seemed really close all of a sudden became really far out of grasp for Mississippi State. And I think it all changed with that Racy McMath touchdown.
It'll be first down and 10 for the Tigers at their own 40-yard line. So again, relatively good field position here, leading 9-7. First down play, Burrow in the pocket. Slings towards the far side, catching it. Racy McMath has it down the far sideline. 10-5, touchdown, Tigers! 60-yard touchdown pass. Joe Burrow in the offense. Get uncorked. The junior, Racy McMath, racing down the far sideline. And the Tigers make it 15-7, their first touchdown of the day.
That opened up things for LSU's offense the rest of the way. It gave the defense a little cushion to work with. And really, from there, LSU was off to the races. So that's why I went with that one for the play of the game. Let's hand out game balls. Offensive game ball, I don't think there's any question about this. It's got to go to Joe Burrow. 25 of 32, 327 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Completed 78% of his passes, which is below average for him this season because he was completing 79% of his passes coming in. I think he'll take it. Joe was phenomenal. There's not much more to say. He set the single season record for touchdown passes, and he's going to break a bunch more records along the way. And this offense just continues to thrive under his guidance. He went to a bunch of different receivers today. Justin Jefferson, 8 catches for 89 yards and a touchdown. Jamar Chase with 5 catches, 48 yards, a touchdown. McMath had 76 yards and a touchdown. Thad Moss made a bunch of big plays early, 48 yards receiving. Derek Dillon caught the 37-yard pass. So Joe Burrow spreading it around. He's only going to get better as the season goes on when Terrace Marshall gets back. Hopefully next week. We'll see what Coach O says on Monday. But hopefully that will only bring out even more success out of Joe Burrow. Defensive game ball, I'm going to divide it up between Grant Delpit and Jacoby Stevens. I thought those two were phenomenal for LSU. They set the tone early on Mississippi State's first drive. Grant Delpit gets the stop on 3rd and 1, came from a safety position, shot the gap, made a tackle just behind the line of scrimmage, set up 4th and 1 around midfield, and Jacoby Stevens made a heck of a play on 4th down. Mississippi State kind of brought a guy in jet sweep motion, faked the handoff or the pitch to him. Jacoby could have gone with that guy. It may have been his assignment to go with that guy. He didn't. He stayed with the quarterback, brought him down behind the line of scrimmage, and gave LSU the ball near midfield. Those two guys led the charge all game. I thought I noticed Grant Delpit playing closer to the line of scrimmage. It seemed like that was much more of an emphasis for him today. And I think it's where Grant thrives. I think that's where he thrived last year when he was unanimous All-American. He was near the line of scrimmage. He was in that quarter position that Dave Aranda created for him. This year, they've needed him more in center field, and he's done really well there. If you look at his coverage stats, he's been phenomenal in coverage. Actually, going into the game, he was leading all SEC safeties in NFL passer rating when targeted in coverage. He hadn't been targeted much. People are afraid to throw his way, and he's covering a ton of ground back there. But today, it seemed like he was closer to the line of scrimmage. Going into the game, he'd only rushed the passer 7 times all season. Last year, he had rushed it, I want to say, like 36 or 37 times. So around 3 or 4 times per game. He was only at about 1 time per game this season. I haven't seen the final numbers yet. He rushed the passer 4 or 5 times, was very involved in that aspect of the game, had a quarterback hurry, was getting in there, making plays. Even when he wasn't recording statistics, he was having an impact. And then Jacoby Stevens was everywhere. He played close to the line of scrimmage. He played deep. He had the interception. He had a sack. He had a tackle for loss. He's really grown into that safety role. And with Delpit and Stevens, they're so versatile. You can move them around. Makes it really hard to game plan as an offense because you never know where those two guys are going to be. Thought they set the tone. They give a lot of leadership back there. Jacoby, I think, is really taking on kind of the vocal leadership back there. He brings a lot of attitude to that secondary, a lot of attitude to that defense. He's so smart. He can get calls in for you. He can get coverages in for you. I really like how those two have developed in their partnership. Two guys that were brought in the same class, two elite safeties. You know, I had Todd Harris in there. I think they were three of the top five or six safeties in the country in their recruiting class. All decided to come to LSU and embrace that challenge. All three would be playing together this year if Todd Harris hadn't gotten hurt, and I think that's a big loss for LSU's defense. But Delpit and Stevens have picked up in Todd's absence, and today was their best game together. They were outstanding. They executed the game plan to perfection, so those two guys get the game ball. Special teams game ball, this is kind of becoming a routine habit. It's got to be Zach Von Rosenberg, right? He had five punts. Two were inside the 20. Two were 50-plus yards. Had a couple of big ones. I'd be remiss if I didn't give some credit to Avery Atkins, who continues to be a home run hitter in the kickoff game. He just never has kickoffs returned. Yet again, Mississippi State had one kickoff return for 28 yards. But other than that, it was all touchbacks for Avery Atkins. So those guys continue to be really solid, as does Zach Von Rosenberg in the holding game and Blake Ferguson in the snapping game. It's just a really solid unit for LSU. So also a little kudos to Racy McMath, who was the special teams captain for the game, getting that touchdown on offense, 76 yards receiving. Good to see a guy that's been a standout on special teams get a little love on offense as well.
Schrader comes out throwing again. Jacoby Stevens goes up, grabs down the interception with one hand. Stevens with the football at about the 39, or rather the 41, and eventually brought down. There's a flag late in the play.
All right, let's get to press play. Let's start with Jacoby Stevens, the man who picked off that pass. Had a really good quote after the game about the performance of the defense and how they're coming together and responding to their early season struggles.
We were just tired of the way that we've been playing, giving up 38 points to Texas and Utah State. Vanderbilt. We didn't forget that, and that motivates us, and we know that we have a lot of room of improvement. We have a lot of talent, and we feel like we've been playing under the amount of talent that we have, and we're going to come out and keep trying to dominate like we did today.
Here's Jacoby talking about him and Grant and how they played together on Saturday.
I mean, in my head, we were always the best safety duo in the country, and today that we actually kind of finally put a good game together, I mean, it just shows what me and Grant know.
One thing I haven't mentioned yet is the play of LSU's cornerbacks. A little bit different schematic approach from LSU tonight defensively. I have to go back and watch the tape, look at the numbers, but it seemed like they were playing a lot more zone coverage than they have in previous games. And that was something early in the season, if you remember, like the Northwestern State game. LSU's zone was pretty weak, got picked apart in that game. They seemed to rely on it a little bit tonight against Mississippi State, had no issues with it. Christian Fulton certainly got tested more than Derek Stingley. I tweeted late in the fourth quarter, has Derek Stingley even been targeted tonight? I went and looked at the numbers. They haven't been finished yet, but I don't think he even had a target thrown his way. So that shows you the kind of respect the freshman is commanding right now. But I don't think Christian Fulton is necessarily the guy that you want to test either. The last numbers that I saw, and I don't think they were fully updated and charted for the whole game, but I think Mississippi State was 2 of 6 for 32 yards, one interception, and two pass breakups throwing Christian Fulton's way, which was an NFL rating in like the teens. So it wasn't very good. Christian Fulton had a huge game, got that interception, and it came a week after Christian Fulton tweeted a joke about how he never gets interceptions. Because if you remember in his previous career last week at Florida, he had the interception late in the game. It was called back because of a penalty. He's had probably 3 or 4 interceptions in his career negated by penalty or called back or overturned on review or whatever. And so he tweeted a joke earlier in the week about, man, interceptions just aren't for me. And so it was good to see him get an interception. And Jacoby Stevens talked about that after the game in a slightly joking manner.
Man, I was happy. I was happy for Christian, man. I was happy that he got an interception. He's now not the only starting DB that doesn't have an interception. Everybody has an interception now. So I'm happy for him, man. And I got to find more tweets to tweet about him.
Sticking with the safeties, let's play two clips from Grant Delpit. This next clip is probably my favorite from the night. It was one of the quotes that I used in my feature at LSUSports.net on the two safeties and how they played. This is Grant Delpit talking about Dave Aranda unleashing him in this game, opening up the defensive playbook, if you will. And I have a theory. This is a completely, I guess you could call it an educated theory. It's more uneducated than it is educated. It's not informed by anybody over in the LSU football operations facility. This is just something that I've theorized on my own, having conversations with people that know football but aren't a part of the LSU program. I think Dave Aranda is slowly unpacking this defense. I think he's started simple with this defense and slowly made it more and more complex. I think we saw the most complex package defensively that we've seen from LSU all year. I think it just was a defense that was growing and learning, and he needed to keep things simple early. And as they grew, he could add a little bit more to the mix. That's, again, just my uneducated theory. But I think this was the most complex thing we've seen from LSU's defense tonight. There was a great tweet in the middle of the game that I retweeted. I don't remember who it was exactly. I apologize. It was a football coach, a high school football coach that I follow on Twitter that writes about football. You'll see it on my timeline if you go back and look. But he talked about the coverage that LSU used on Christian Fulton's interception. And it was a cover three cloud coverage where, you know, he acted like he was in man coverage on the bottom. He showed quarters of man coverage, and then he bit on the slot route to get the interception. A very complex coverage, takes an experienced team to understand. LSU executed that. But the reason I like this quote so much from Grant Delpit, who I think played in a different role tonight and a more unleashed role, is because he talks about Dave Aranda and Dave Aranda unleashing his genius.
Coach Aranda's opening up a little bit. I love when he opens it up because, you know, that's when the genius comes out, and you know, we get in good position to make plays. So it was a good call. We had a couple calls. We got calls still in the bag, though.
More complexity and calls coming from LSU's defense. Can't wait to see how those look. Here's Grant Delpit talking about the duo between him and Jacoby Stevens and how they've continued to gel throughout their time together at LSU.
Yeah, just as a tandem, you know, we're pretty dangerous. You know, it's just that we got to make sure we're on the same page at all times. I think we're doing that, you know, clicking as a defense as a whole, really.
Let's talk offense with Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron. Joe Burrow had quite a few things to say after the game, as he always does. The first thing that he talked about was, and this is schematic speak, he was talking about some of the pressure that Mississippi State was able to get. I think Joe Burrow got sacked three times after not getting sacked last week. If you're wondering about that pressure, concerned about it, Joe Burrow had a pretty good answer for it after the game. He said that Mississippi State was doing what he calls green dogging, and I'll let him explain what green dogging is.
We were keeping our back in early in the game, and they were green dogging, which means when the back was to the running back block, they just blitz. And so in the second half and late in the second quarter, we just started spreading them out, getting everybody out and around, and it kind of calmed them down a little bit.
So LSU would keep that back in, and Mississippi State would read that back in. Whoever was responsible for the back would then blitz. LSU adjusted by sending that back out in coverage. Coming into the game, LSU was actually tops in the SEC in terms of using the least number of blockers per pass play. The guys at, I think, SEC StatCat have charted that, and it's pretty close. It's not even close. LSU is by far the leader in terms of using the fewest number of blockers per pass play. So they got back to that and adjusted to it pretty well. Another thing that Joe Burrow talked about after the game that I thought was pretty interesting was just the energy that LSU didn't play with early offensively. It was something that he said he noticed in the morning. And again, I wasn't around the team in the morning. I don't know what their energy was like. But according to Joe Burrow, he didn't like what he saw early in the day from LSU's offense.
Yeah, we just started off slow. You know, we were moving the ball, but we just, you know, we didn't execute the way we had been in the red zone. And that's credit to them. And, you know, I could feel a little less energy before the game, so that was probably had to do with some of it. First thing in the morning, you know, you could tell that people weren't quite as locked in as they had been, but it's always good to get an SEC win.
Let's finish up the segment with some audio from Coach O, who focused really on the success that the defense had in his post-game press conference. He was excited about that. Before I play the audio, let me just say this. One of the things that I'm really starting to appreciate about Coach O is how much he enjoys winning. You know, a lot of really good coaches come in to a post-game media interview and they're upset. They're upset with, you know, even if they win, they're upset with mistakes their team made or lack of execution, lack of effort, lack of intensity, whatever. Whatever thing they're upset about, they carry it with them into the post-game press conference and you can tell they're in a bad mood. And you know, that's fine. For certain coaches, that's how they operate and that works for them. Coach O loves winning. And when LSU wins, he comes into that post-game press conference and he's happy and he's smiling and he practices what he preaches. He preaches a 24-hour rule where he wants his guys to enjoy wins for 24 hours, come back on Monday, correct it, and then move on Tuesday. And Coach O enjoys these wins. You know, he takes them seriously. He goes back and studies the film, looks for the weaknesses. But in the moments after the game, he's just in love with the fact that LSU's won a football game, just like so many people are across the state and across the country who are LSU fans. They love when LSU football wins football games, and Coach O loves when LSU wins football games. You can see it in his face. It's not fake. It's not an act. He embraces it, and so I love that. That caveat stated, let's get to the Coach O audio. Here he is talking about the defense and the fact that the defense is healthy and that they've got all these guys that they were missing at times this season. They're all back in the fold, and what that means is twofold. One, it means you've got your best players on the field, and two, it means that your backups who were starters are now back to where they should be as backups, and you've got depth, and you've got guys that are fresh, and so you're never tired on defense. In previous games, LSU was playing backups. Those backups were getting tired, and that's no longer the case.
Well, we're getting better. Obviously, having Rashard Lawrence and Ben Logan and Michael Devaney healthy and Kenavon Chastel healthy and having a rotation, I don't think our guys were tired at all today. I think that makes a difference.
I'll be real interested to see the snap counts for LSU's defense, how evenly those were distributed. It's just an incredible asset to have when you can have a guy like Braden Fehoko, who you consider a starter, but is coming in with that second unit and getting a tackle for loss. If you look at Braden's numbers this year, I think he's a really good example of this. Like, his total tackle numbers aren't super high. He's probably at like 12 or 13 tackles for the season. But at least half of those tackles, or very close to half of those tackles, are tackles for loss. So you've got a guy that's coming in the game, getting starters reps, and delivering starters production. That's huge for a defense. It keeps a defense fresh. It keeps a defense potent. Here is Coach O talking about Jacoby Stevens' interception and how big it was in that moment in the game.
That was a huge play for us. There was momentum going for Mississippi State, and that turnover gave us a little confidence going into half. I knew it was going to come out in the third quarter and light it up. I just felt this team was a little sluggish at the beginning. I don't know why. We need to find out. But I knew that coming out of halftime, after what we talked about at halftime, this team was going to respond.
Last bit of audio from Coach O here, talking about Racy McMath's touchdown, trying to get the deep ball more involved in LSU's offense, and what a game changer that was for LSU to get that touchdown in a 9-7 game, to go one play, one score, and one drive. How big that was in that moment?
As soon as they scored, I could hear on the headset, "We're going to respond. We got you, coach. We're going to respond." They did. I thought it was a great play call by Steve. Again, the deep ball was there open. We should have probably went to it a little bit more.
All right, let's wrap up the show with questions. Let's guess some of the questions that Coach O is going to face on Monday. I think, and I kind of start here every game, every post game, I think he's going to be asked about Terrace Marshall. And I'm hoping that this week the answer is that Terrace Marshall is back. He was warming up again for this game. He's been going through individuals in practice. I don't know if he'll be cleared for this Auburn game, and you do have the advantage of, if he's not cleared for this game, he's got another week to get ready for the Alabama game, but you can be sure the Coach O is going to be asked about it, and I really hope that Terrace Marshall is available for this game. Putting aside my personal biases, which are, I think, pretty evident and stated clearly here before, I love Terrace as a human being. I think he's an excellent character. I think he's an excellent football player. He's been huge for LSU in the red zone this year. I was looking at the red zone numbers during the game when LSU was struggling to punch it in. He has, I believe, 6 catches in the red zone this season for 6 touchdowns, which is a team high. Justin Jefferson had the second most, 5. I think he was at 5 catches for 5 touchdowns. Jamar Chase, I think, had 4 catches, 3 touchdowns. Regardless, that's only in 3.5 games. Like, Terrace Marshall is LSU's best red zone option. His size gives you so much more room to target on the field, and if he can get back for this Auburn game, I think it's going to be a huge addition. Other questions that Coach O will be asked about, I think he might be asked about getting Ty Davis-Price more involved in the run game, and that's a good question to have at this point, because Ty Davis-Price once again was spectacular for LSU. Came in 6 carries, 49 yards, a long of 19, 8.2 yards per carry. On a game where Clyde didn't have as much room to run as normal, although he did have 53 yards on 11 carries, nothing to sneeze at, Ty was electric, and I love the way that he runs the football. I'll tell you a story from camp that I've been waiting to tell about Ty Davis-Price. Ty Davis-Price was the freshman who comes in and makes all the veterans mad in camp because he runs so hard. Ty was a guy that, I'll be honest, he made a couple of the veterans upset during camp because they'd be going into non-contact situations, thud situations, and when he'd get the ball in these walkthroughs, these thud situations, he'd try to run defenders over. And they didn't take kindly to that. So when scrimmage time came, maybe they tried to hit Ty a little bit harder, maybe talk to him a little bit louder. That's the kind of attitude, though, that, look, I'd rather a freshman have to come in and learn how to take the foot off the gas pedal than to put it on a little bit harder. Ty has no problem going full speed. It's the only way he knows how to run. I said it during the game. I don't think I've ever seen him hit a pile and move backward, or hit a pile and not move at all. He's always, always moving the pile forward, and I think that's a huge piece for this offense to have. This is a team that needs a number two running back. Since Leonard Fournette left, they need a number two guy to emerge. Ty Davis Price has emerged as that guy. He has been absolutely sensational, involved in the passing game tonight, caught a pass for only 5 yards, but he picked up some yards after the catch to get it done. I think it's been a huge piece to LSU's offense, and I'll be curious to see if reporters are asking if he continues to see an expanded role in LSU's offense. Another question I could see Coach O being asked about on Monday at his press conference is how good Thaddeus Moss has been lately for LSU. Another big game from Thad, 3 catches, 48 yards, was a guy who was easy to go to early in the game when Joe Burrow needed some pickups and some to move the chains as the offense was struggling to get going. Thad has been so automatic for this team. He's been sensational as a blocker. He's been sensational pass protection and leaking out for routes. He's been sensational blocking in the run game. And then he's been sensational catching the ball. He's just so solid. I knew he was going to be a big part of this offense this season coming in. You could just see it in camp. I love the way that he's embraced this role. He's the perfect solution to this offense. Love his play at tight end. I'm sure Coach O will be asked about what he's seen from Thad, because that's been really good for this team. The last thing that I could see Coach O being asked about is taking the foot off the gas pedal defensively on that last drive, and offensively early in the game. And I think the way that it'll be framed is, look, Alabama's coming up in a couple weeks. Everyone's been circling that contest all year. Not that Auburn is a weak foe, but you know, you saw the way that the offense struggled in the red zone early. You saw the way that the defense and the reserves gave up the touchdown later. You worried about the team taking the foot off the gas against Auburn. I'm not worried about that at all. Auburn is a huge rival for LSU. They're a very good football team. Their front is scary, scary good. Bo Nix has made some plays at quarterback this year. They beat Oregon early in the season. They nearly beat Florida. That was a tough game and a tough environment. They are not going to come into Death Valley terrified of the environment. They've played in big environments before, and LSU will be at home with a big crowd behind them, so they'll be up. I don't think that's going to be any issue at all. I do think you have some red zone offensive issues to be cleaned up, and I think that's something Coach O will be asked about. How do you clean up the red zone attack? Look, I think it's just execution. I think the guys were in the right place. The right place were called. You're just a half second off, a half yard off here or there, and that makes a difference. You just have to be a little bit sharper. The defensive thing with the backups in the last drive, I don't think it's a big concern moving forward in terms of this season. But you would like to see that cleaned up. You'd like to see those guys be able to come in and snuff the game out and not give up a 7-play, 90-yard drive. The good thing about that and the good thing about all these things is that you do leave some room on tape for correction and for motivation, and I think that gets a team going into the bye week. All right, let's wrap things up there. I'm going to get out of here, get home, get some sleep. That'll do it for today's edition of the Hurry Up. A couple things to plug before we go. Check out the story from after the game, both the post-game recap at lsusports.net and my story on the two safeties spearheading the charge for the defense. Both of those up at lsusports.net. If you haven't subscribed to Boot Up the LSU Basketball Podcast, go do that today. Had a new episode out this week from a trip up to Birmingham for SEC Media Days. Basketball season is just around the corner. Excited about that. Head on over to Boot Up the LSU Basketball Podcast. Just type that in your podcast feed. You will find it. Subscribe there. And as usual, subscribe, rate, and review here too. We will be back in the middle of the week sometime, either with a player interview or an interview of some other form or fashion, getting you ready for the Auburn game, and it's going to be a big one. So excited about that. This team is doing special things, 7-0 now, heading into this game. Got a chance to make a run here down the stretch. So very exciting. The offense is breaking records. The defense is coming together, and this team's got a chance to do some really amazing things. I hope you'll stick around for the entire ride here on Hey Fightin' Podcast. And until next time. To hold the glory of the purple and gold. Come on, you Tigers. I said, fight, fight, fight. Victory for victory.
victory for